Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Lord, we pray now as we consider your word and the priorities that you have set. We pray that our lives would conform to your list of priorities. So, Lord, speak to us today. Show us those things that are in the way, things that are keeping us back from you and all that you have for us. Open our hearts, and may we be committed today to seeking you first above all other things. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 6:33, actually just the first half of the verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've entitled this message, The Most Important Thing in the World. If you were to ask at random a number of people what the most important thing in the world is to them, or what holds top priority in their life, you would no doubt get a variety of answers that I'm sure would be something like this. For some, top priority would be their family. Others would say that their friends are the most important thing in the world to them. Some might say getting an education. Others might say their career. Some might say financial security is top priority for them. Others might say being physically fit, being in top shape, being healthy. That would be their number one concern and pursuit. And there are many, many things that people would put as the most important thing in the world to them. But according to Jesus Christ, the most important thing in the world, the thing that is to take precedence over everything else, is the obtaining of the kingdom of God and of the righteousness that God provides. So according to Jesus, the first thing that should concern us in life is to be right with God. That should be our first concern in life, to be right with God. Now in this verse, Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God, and he speaks of the righteousness of God, and he speaks of seeking first these things. And so we want to look at each one of these things and really analyze just exactly what it is that he's saying. We want to look at what the kingdom of God is. We want to look at what God's righteousness is. And then finally, we want to come to understand how it is that we seek first these things. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is simply the reign of Christ. The Bible tells us that in the future, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. You see, God created this world to be under his control. He created this world to be ruled over by his anointed, by his Son. And yet the world today is in rebellion to the Son of God. The world today is hostile to his reign and to his authority. But there's coming a time in the near future when God is going to put everything under the authority of Christ. Now, when Jesus came preaching the gospel, he said to those that he preached to, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. So although there's a future date in which the entire world will come under submission to Christ, presently, the kingdom of God is being manifest in the lives of individual people who have made Jesus Christ their Lord. So when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, what he was talking about is making sure that he is Lord of our lives. That's top priority, according to Jesus. Making sure that he's Lord of our lives. Making sure that he is reigning, that we are submitted to his authority. That's top priority. He also said that we are to seek God's righteousness. Top priority is to seek his lordship and his righteousness. Now, What is God's righteousness? What is Jesus referring to here? I think there's a twofold explanation of what he's talking about when he says God's righteousness. There is, first of all, what is called imputed righteousness. And that's the righteousness that a person obtains when they put their faith in Christ. You see, we do not possess righteousness in and of ourselves. Nor do we have the ability to obtain to the righteous standard that God requires. God requires a righteousness of man, but it's beyond his reach. So what God has done through Christ is he has provided for us a righteousness that we could not attain ourselves. You see, in order to be accepted by God, we have to be as good as God. There was a man who came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but one, and that is God." So Jesus there made it clear to us that only God is good. Now we talk about good people and we maybe even refer to ourselves as times as being good. But in the truest sense, there's no one good but God. And no one can go to heaven who is not good. So how can I possibly get to heaven if I'm not good? I need a righteousness that God will provide for me. And that's what the imputed righteousness is. And that's really what the good news is. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is God provided for us a righteousness that we could not obtain for ourselves. And it's through this righteousness that we have access into his presence, into his kingdom eternally. That's in essence really what the good news is. This righteousness that God provides. So here when Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he was talking about, I believe, first and foremost, this imputed righteousness, but he was also talking about righteousness in the sense of holy living. The message of this one verse has application to the non-believer, but it also has application to the believer. To the non-believer, the righteousness that is being spoken of is the imputed righteousness. To the believer, the righteousness that's being spoken of is righteousness in the sense of holy living. Living a right life. Living the kind of life that God wants us to live. The kind of life that he spelled out for us in the Bible. And he demonstrated for us through his son Jesus Christ. So the kingdom of God is the reign of Christ, the lordship of Christ, and the righteousness of God is the imputed righteousness for the non-believer and holy living for the believer. The next question, and the most practical one, is how do we do what Jesus told us to do? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do we do that? Well, it all begins with salvation. You see, this is where I've got to start. Until I become a Christian, I can't do anything else. You know, that's really what the message of the Bible is. The message of the Bible is that first priority is to be saved. First priority is to come into a relationship with God, to become a Christian in essence. And before I ever do anything else in life, that is what I need to experience. That's what I need to see accomplished in my life. Before I take another step, I've got to become a Christian. So there is that seeking of the kingdom of God in, first of all, the initial sense, where Jesus Christ becomes a Lord of my life and where I obtain the righteousness that God has provided for me through faith in him. That's where it all starts. How many people know that in the world today? I mean, really, that's the first thing. That's top priority. When a person is born into this world, the first thing that they should come to understand upon arriving at the age of being able to understand anything, the first thing they should understand is they need to be saved. They need to have a Savior. They need to be born again. They need to become a child of God. That's the very first thing that a person should know. But in most cases, people never find that out. People don't know that at all. Or if they even hear about it, they don't pay much attention to it. Is it any wonder that the world is in such miserable shape? Because the whole world has its priorities misplaced. If this is the first and foremost thing according to Jesus Christ, and the vast majority of people in the world aren't doing this, is it any wonder that the world is so messed up? Is it any wonder that people's lives are so out of whack? That's not the way God intended us to live. He didn't intend us to live miserably. He didn't intend us to live in the kind of situations that so many people find themselves living in. But they're living in those situations because they haven't got their lives in order. They haven't done the first things. They haven't put their priorities aright. The priority in life is to come to know Christ. That's number one priority. And until somebody does that, their life can never really come into order. Their life can never really be what it was intended to be by the one who created it. You see, this is where we've got to start. We've got to start with salvation. So to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness means, first of all, that we yield to the Lordship of Christ and we ask Him to impart to us the righteousness that God has provided. In other words, we humble ourselves, admit that we're sinners, and we become believers in Jesus. We're saved by Him. That's where it all starts. And that is the message that's there for those who don't know Christ in this verse. Now, once a person comes to know Christ, then there is the putting first of Christ in our lives on a daily basis. And that's how we apply this verse to our lives as believers. This verse has application to the non-Christian. They need to come to Christ and be saved. To the Christian, it has application. We need to put Jesus first in our lives each day. On a daily basis, I am to put the Lord first in my life. That's the only way my life is ever going to be what God intended it to be, is if I'm putting Him first. Now, practically, what does that involve? Well, it involves seeking Him in His Word on a regular basis, getting into the Word of God, because as I get into the Word of God, I get to know the Lord. I'm becoming familiar with Him. I'm getting intimate with Him. I'm receiving instruction from Him and guidance for my life. It means developing a prayer life to where I'm in communion with God and I'm sensitive to Him and I'm hearing His voice and I'm being able to discern His will. And then it means that whatever I'm doing in life, I'm doing it with Him in mind. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul said that we are to do everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through Him. That's fulfilling this command right here, to seek first the kingdom of God. Everything I do. And then as Paul goes on, he lists the various things that we are involved in life. He says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Servants, be submissive to your masters. And you masters, be gentle and kind to your servants. And just write down that list of the things that we are all involved in on a daily basis. He said, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father by Him. And then he says, do it with all your heart as to the Lord and not to men. So you see, this is what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness for the believer, it's putting Christ first every day and saying each day, Lord, I want you to lead my life. I want you to speak to me and instruct me so I'll know what to do. And Lord, as I go out into this world, I want to go out with you on my mind. And I want to do the things that I do today. I want to do them for you. And I want to do them for the glory of your name and for the advancement of your kingdom. And I want to do them with all my heart. Not for men, but for you. That's what it is on a very practical level to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, it's only when I do that that my life is actually going to come together and to be what God intended it to be. See, as long as I'm missing this most important thing, I can't expect anything else to ever come together. You know, there are multitudes of people that are just waiting for life to come together. You know people like that. You might be one of those persons. You're just waiting for something to happen, and you're just hoping one day it's all going to click. One day it's all going to come together. One day I'm going to get the lotto jackpot, you know, or I'm going to meet the right girl, or I'm going to meet the right guy, or, you know, I'm going to fall into that career, or I'm going to get in shape, or I'm going to do, you know, we all have something in our mind that we think this is the ultimate. And if I could just get there, and we're all hoping that somehow, someday, that'll finally come together. But know this, until Christ is number one in your life, nothing will ever really come together. It might look like it comes together, and you might momentarily think it did come together, but you'll find out very shortly that it didn't. This isn't it. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. You see, Christ has to be first. That's what we were created for. And remember, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus was not a philosopher. He wasn't just a religious figure who lived historically like many other religious figures who had an opinion about God and had some interesting insight and gave us some new twist. No, Jesus Christ is God who came to earth and lived in a human body, who came primarily to die for our sins and to rise again so we could go to heaven. But while he was here, he instructed us on what life is really all about. And he says right here, this is what life's all about. This is the most important thing. This is to take precedence over everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God. Become a Christian. And then once you become a Christian, put me first in your life on a daily basis. And then it'll all come together. So we've got that seeking first of the kingdom initially, which results in salvation. We've got a seeking first of the kingdom generally, which means to put Christ first on a daily basis. But then I think there's one other area where we need to consider this. And this would be in a category of what I've called specifics. In each of our lives, there will be specific key moments in time where we will make decisions. Monumental decisions, decisions that are going to affect us for the rest of our lives. And this is where we need desperately to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The choosing of a partner for life. And that's a major decision. That's a specific moment in time where you're making a vital decision that's going to impact you for the rest of your life. So as you're contemplating a partner to spend the rest of your life with, what's to be the standard? What are you to be judging whether you are to be linked to this person or not by? It's by this principle right here, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is this relationship going to result in a furthering of God's kingdom in my life? Is this relationship going to lead to a greater manifestation of God's righteousness? Or is this relationship going to hinder me from fulfilling God's plan and purpose for my life? That's the question you need to ask, and that's how you need to make your decision based on this principle here. Is this going to enable me to continue to do what is the most important thing, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God? So we would have it in a decision as far as who we're to be married to. We would have it, of course, in a decision related to a career. Is this job change or is this profession that I want to enter into, is this environment a place where I'm going to be able to see the kingdom of God furthered in my life and in the lives of others? Is this a place where the righteousness of God is going to be able to be manifested? You see, a lot of Christian people, they don't take those things into consideration. But those are things we have to take into consideration. They don't take into consideration when they're going to make a choice on a career change that God needs to be sought out and His will needs to be understood. Sometimes we think, oh, well, that's the stuff that we're supposed to deal with. And, you know, we leave spiritual things to God. This is, you know, secular. We make a distinction between the two, which is something that we shouldn't do. Because we belong to God entirely, and there is to be no distinction between the spiritual and the secular. Our whole life is to be spiritual and dedicated to the glory of God. So my job is actually, or my career, this is something that's spiritual. There's a spiritual aspect to it. And I need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in relation to that. Or, you know, maybe I'm going to purchase something of great significance. Maybe I'm going to move into a new community. Those kinds of things, those are all the things that we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in relation to. You see, as a Christian, I can't just pack up and say, hey, I'm heading over here because I don't like it here anymore and I want to be over there. I can do that if I want to, but I'm probably going to end up in trouble. What I need to do is say, Lord, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Where would you have me? Is this where you want me? And if not, then is that where you want me? But bringing this principle into every major decision that we make in life. So seeking first the kingdom of God begins with coming to Christ. That initial step of faith of becoming a Christian and receiving the righteousness of Christ. It's carried out now on a daily basis by putting Christ first. And then when we're faced with those major decisions of life, we're not making those decisions on our own. We're not really making those decisions at all. We're leaving it up to the Lord. That's the thing that I think is hardest for us to realize. It's not, you know, the Lord and I agreed on this and we think that this is a good route to take. No, it's, Lord, what do you want? Because as a Christian, the Bible says, I'm no longer my own. I was bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which belong to Him, not to me. So many Christian people live as though they own themselves. That's why the lives of Christians are sometimes just as out of whack as the lives of unbelievers. That's why people look on at the church and say, what's so different about you guys? I mean, look at this Christian family over here. They're getting a divorce. Or look at this Christian family over here. These guys are in debt and filing bankruptcy. Or look at this guy over here. You know, he claims to be a Christian on the job, but he doesn't work harder than anybody else and actually doesn't work as, you know, those kinds of things are happening. Why is it? Because Christian people aren't doing what Jesus said to do. They're not putting the first thing first. They don't have their priorities in order. We've got to put the Lord first. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, putting Jesus first in our lives. Now, I'm sure you've heard this before, but let me say it again and remind you of it. God has a plan for your life. And as cliche as that might sound, it is a profound truth if you really stop and think about it. God has a plan for your life. You're not here by accident. There is a purpose for your existence. When God created the world, He created it with you in mind and the purpose that you would fulfill through your life. Evolutionary theory leads us to the conclusion that life is an accident and therefore it is meaningless. The Bible teaches that life is not an accident at all. Life exists because God created it, and He created it with a purpose. And your life is a life that was created with a purpose. God has a specific purpose, and the Bible tells us before the foundation of the world, God planned for you to do certain things. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, created for the good works that God before ordained that we are to walk in. It's like a company owner whose company grows and develops, and in the process of growth and development, there grows up in that the need for new employees, new positions, new things that need to be done. And as time goes on, this company owner is observing everything and watching and seeing these new areas develop. And in his mind, he's saying, okay, I need somebody over here. I need somebody to do this. There's a task here that needs to be performed. So he begins to, in his mind, think about the kind of person that needs to come along to meet that need. There's a job that's been developed, and there's a need that must be met. So then he goes out and seeks to employ someone to do that. I don't know if that's the greatest analogy in the world, but God, he created the heaven and the earth, and there are all kinds of things that he's doing. The ultimate end of everything is to bring the world into submission to Christ, but he's using people to further that process along. And there's all kinds of jobs that need to be done. There are many vacancies that need to be filled in this task. And the Lord has created you for a specific purpose. But you know, believe it or not, most Christian people don't even think in those terms. They haven't made the connection that being a Christian is something that means a plan and a purpose that is daily worked out in my life. But that's reality. God has a foreordained plan for your life. And for many of you, God is just waiting for you to come to Him and say, Lord, I surrender. I give it all to you now. So He can say, oh, glorious, wonderful. This is what I have for you. This is the task that I have you to do. See, there are a lot of Christian people out there doing their own thing. Lord's saying, you know, no, that's not what I created you for. And they're frustrated and they're miserable and they're wondering why nothing's working out. Nothing's working out because they're in the wrong profession. They're trying to make something happen that God hasn't ordained for them. No, God's got something over here. And He's just waiting for them to come and say, Lord, what do you have for my life? So He can plug them into that. You see, God has a plan. He has a person for you to be a partner with. If He's ordained that you be married, He has a specific career that He wants to use you in. He has a place that He wants to locate you. He has people that He wants you to influence. He has all these things already planned out. He says to you, seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll bring you into all these things. You see, that's when life becomes what it was intended to be. Paul, in describing the kingdom of God in the book of Romans, he said the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And you see, it's when I put Jesus first that I find that is absolutely true. That's what life becomes, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. But until the Lord is number one, it's not that. As long as I'm striving with my Maker, as long as I'm trying to do my own thing, as long as I'm leading my own life and seeking to accomplish my own will, I just frustrate the plan and the purpose of God. And that's where the non-believer is today. The non-believer is frustrating the plan and purpose of God, and the non-believer lives in utter frustration. I mean, find me a person who's truly happy. I'd like to meet such a person. I don't know of any. And the same is true for a believer who doesn't put Christ first in their life. They're frustrated. And they think, well, wait a second, I'm a Christian. How come I feel this way? Why am I miserable? Why am I frustrated? How come I'm unfulfilled? You're a Christian, yes, in the sense that you've believed, but you failed to surrender. And so you're frustrating the purposes of God, and that leaves you in frustration. What a great moment in time to make a decision to submit to the Lordship of Christ. Here we are, a brand new year. And on this first Sunday of this brand new year, what a great opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be in charge. And Lord, I want you to do whatever you want to do with my life. You see, it's only when we do that, that we enter into that ultimate life experience. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Just to paraphrase it, it's simply saying, put God first, put Christ on the throne, and life will come together the way it was intended to by God. Until you do that, it'll just go on in a perpetual state of frustration. But when you do that, man, the Lord will just bring it all together. It'll all just start falling into place. But it won't happen until then. This is the most important thing in the world. Family is not the most important thing. Family is an important thing, but it's not the most important thing. Friends, well, friends can be important too, but they're certainly not the most important thing. Getting an education, well, that can be important. Having a good career, that can be important. Being financially secure, well, that can be important. Being physically fit, that can be important. But that is not the priority. That's not the most important thing. And the pursuit of any one of those things or putting any one or all of them as the number one priority of your life will leave you frustrated and will hinder what God wants to do. But once you put the Lord first, once you say, Jesus, You're Lord of my life. You take my life. Lord, You make it what You want it to be. Boy, that's when it all begins to fall in place. That's when it all starts to come together. And let me say this. The Lord will do things that will just absolutely blow your mind. I think you can't even imagine. You know, quite honestly, in my life, the things that the Lord has me doing, I could have never in a million years dreamed that I would be doing these kinds of things, or I couldn't have planned out my life any better if I tried. It's just such an incredible thing to see what God is doing as I look at my own life. And it's simply because of this one thing. I've just said, Lord, here it is. You take it. You do with it what You want. And the Lord will do the same with you. He'll amaze you. You see, He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And in order for you to meet that plan and purpose, this is where you start. This is where it begins. Put Jesus first. The most important thing in all the world is having Christ as Lord of our lives. Are you a citizen of God's kingdom? Do you have the righteousness of Christ imputed to your account? This is where it all starts. You're not ready to do anything else until this is taken care of. This is it. This is number one priority. You need to get saved, to put it bluntly. You need to come to know Christ. Say, oh, well, you know, I'm not sure if Jesus is the right way for me. I was, you know, maybe thinking that I would try out a few religions and just see what best suits me. I can save you a lot of wasted time. Don't bother. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to peace and joy, righteousness, heaven. Jesus is the only way. He didn't claim to be one of many roads. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the door. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. You might say, well, yeah, I understand that, but you know, I'm just not quite ready. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. God has a plan and purpose for your life, but you can blow it eternally by resisting Him. If you resist Him to the point of dying in your sins, then you end up eternally separated from Him. And talk about misery and frustration. You haven't known the beginning of it here on earth. as compared to what it will be in eternity apart from Him. And so this is it. Until this is taken care of, nothing else matters. This is priority number one. This is something that you should have done before you went to kindergarten. Something I should have done before I went to kindergarten, but I didn't. Some of us didn't because we never knew. Some of us knew and just didn't care. Whatever the reason for our procrastination or failure to embrace Christ, this is the issue. Jesus stands today at the door and He says, if any man will hear My voice and open the door, I will come in. He's not holding that against us. He's not saying, hey, for years I've been trying to get your attention. Now, you know, it's too late. No, the Lord, He has for years been dealing with you and He has been wanting to get your attention, but He's not holding that against you. He's saying right now, come. The door's open. My plan and purpose is still there waiting for you to enter into it, that you might accomplish what I've ordained for you. So this is where it starts. And once you get there and you take that step and you receive Christ into your life, then on a daily basis, put Him first. Get into His Word. Develop communication with Him through prayer. As you go out into life doing whatever you're doing, go out and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it with all your heart as to Him. As you put Him first daily, you'll find that His will is being accomplished. And as you're faced with those bigger decisions of life, you just say, Lord, whatever You have, that's what I want. God will lead you into that perfect path. And you'll know righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the outcome of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. May God help all of us to do that. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and for the rest of our lives, to put the Lord first. This is top priority. This is the most important thing in the world. And until we do this, we can go no further. Let's pray. Father, today we acknowledge, Lord, that this is true. We know, Lord, that we can go no further until we get right on this one point. And Lord, I pray today for any that don't know You, that have never received You, or maybe had made some sort of a commitment in the past, but never really followed through with a daily seeking first of the kingdom of God. Help them today, Lord, to come to You. Help them to submit to the Lordship of Christ, and help them, Lord, to, by faith, lay hold of Your righteousness. And Lord, for those who have received Christ but yet have failed to put Him first, Lord, help them, beginning today, to put Him first on a daily basis. Lord, there are many that are faced with decisions, major decisions in their life right now. Help them, Lord, to know that You have a plan and purpose, and help them to seek You, that You might unfold that and reveal what it is You have for them. So, Lord, just bless each of us and help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.